This is Canadian Wealth Wisdom by TriDelta Private Wealth. My name is Kyle Taylor, and I am joined by Matthew Ardrey, Portfolio Manager and Senior Financial Planner with TriDelta Private Wealth. Matthew joined TriDelta in 2016, but has been in the wealth management industry for over 20 years. He holds several industry designations, including the Certified Financial Planner, Registered Financial Planner, Chartered Investment Manager, and Financial Management Advisor. Welcome, Matt.
Great. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, let's dive right in. As I understand it, you had a brief stint in banking before moving into wealth management. Can you share a little bit about your career progression and what ultimately attracted you to this industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly, as you mentioned, I did start in a big bank. I was there just a little over a year, but didn't really feel that type of organization was the right fit for me. I did want something that could be a little bit more independent and also a little bit more broad-based. From there, I moved to an independent wealth management firm where I spent the next 16 years of my career, so quite a bit of time. And the only reason I really left is we were bought out by a large insurance company. They made a lot of changes that didn't really feel was right for me or right for my clients. That's when I moved over here to TriDelta. And the last 7+ years I hear have been great. I feel it's a great place for my clients. It allows me to do the right things for my clients on a very unbiased and autonomous nature. So certainly it has been the right move for me.
So just as you mentioned, you had several, you know, you've worked with several different clients, you've worked with many different advisors. Is there any mentors coming up in the industry that, you know, gave you some really great career advice that you want to share?
Well, there was one early in my career, and he put it pretty bluntly to say, when dealing with clients, you have two ears and one mouth. So what that really means is listen to what your clients are saying to you. Everyone's got a story to tell about their lives, what they really want, what their real goals are underlying. And really, you're going to make it to understand those goals deeper by listening to them and just sort of, obviously, yes, you need to talk and everything like that. But really what I'm trying to do here is to empathize with them and see the world through their eyes. So I can understand what their motivators are, what their decisions are. And then once I understand them, create the proper solutions that are suitable for them. You know, this really sort of moves into what I feel is an overarching themes of, you know, a business of people and relationships. And that's what really I'm all about and what feel, you know, advisors should be all about. Yes, we need to analyze the numbers and everything like that. But it's the relationships and the people that really make this this job go round.
That's a good segue into my next question on, you've worked with a lot of different types of clients, especially high net worth individuals and families in Canada. What can clients typically expect when working with you?
So at my core, I'm a financial planner, first and foremost. Yes, I'm also a portfolio manager. Yes, the investments are important. But to understand an investment strategy for somebody, I feel you need to more than just give them a paper and answer 10 questions and say, hey, you're a balanced investor and you fit our balanced investor portfolio. No, it's about understanding their goals, their needs, what they want, and then customizing solutions to meet them. You know, beyond that, I feel I'm a very responsive person. You know, most people, I think if you surveyed my clients, you find most of them, I'll respond to them within 24 hours, even if it's just to kind of let them know that, hey, I'm looking into this for them. But really, you know, again, it's, yes, there's technical competencies. Yes, there's, you know, the financial planning. But more than anything else, I want to create a human relationship with the people I work with. I want to be able to understand, you know, what's really concerning them, what questions they have, and be able to develop solutions that are going to make their lives better, and, you know, develop what, you know, I would hopefully have a long-term relationship with them where they can rely upon me as their financial guide.
And who would that typical client be who you typically work with?
Lots of my clients are sort of in and around this sort of, you know, approaching retirement, going into retirement sort of phase. So retirement's one of the hugest transitions that any individual has to go through. It's this whole idea of, you know, your whole life you've been told to work, 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 save, 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 grow, grow, grow. Well, now you've got to rely on those savings. Now you've got to decumulate your assets in such a way that you actually really feel comfortable doing it. So it's providing that comfort, it's providing that peace of mind as we move across that threshold from, you know, being a worker and accumulating to becoming a retiree and decumulating, to understand that, you know, yes, you can spend your money, yes, you can enjoy it, but also saying, here's the plan, here's the updated plan. We can see how you're drawing down on your assets. And yes, it's all fitting in with the parameters that we have. So really, it's just trying to take that stress and you know, move it off their shoulders and let people sort of focus on everything else in their life.
I'm speaking to someone who's a bit of a celebrity as far as Globe and Mail is concerned. You've been featured in several publications, not only the Globe and Mail, but also the Financial Post, Money Sense, Investment Executive, and as I mentioned, regularly on the Financial Facelift segment of the Globe and Mail. What are the common themes that you tend to get asked most about?
So first, sort of with the articles and the Financial Facelift's a little bit of a different animal on its own, and you know, we can discuss that a bit after. But writing an article, lots of times it comes down to who the author is and what they're trying to aim for. And lots of times it's, you know, what's the hot topic today? So an example was the, you know, first time homebuyer savings accounts that came out, you know, sort of back in 2023 here. It's how do those accounts work? Why would you use them? What are the strategies around them? Another one I did on a recent topic was about inflation, but it's how inflation can actually be a good thing for you. So some examples would be, you know, indexation of tax brackets. So you're paying less tax because those tax brackets are going up. Contribution room for the TFSA jumped another $500 from 23 to 24 because of inflation. This also affects RSPs, and it'll also affect for retirees the OAS clawback limit. So it's really sort of looking to say what's topical, what's on people's minds today, and how can I provide some knowledge out there in specific to those topics?
And I mentioned the Financial Facelift segments. You're in a pretty unique position with those articles in that you get to peer into the lives of some people who you may not see in your everyday situation with clients. It may not be necessarily who you're always working with. What are the common concerns or areas for improvement that not many people fully recognize when going through the planning process?
Yeah, the first area that is really common for me is budgeting. It's people know how much money they make, they know how much money they save, but when you ask them to write down their expenses, lots of times they're never in line with what they're actually spending because it's fairly arithmetic. You make X, you save Y, X minus Y is how much you spend. And so you get to these points where you're saying, well, you know, here's this sort of unallocated amount. And, you know, is that unallocated amount $1,000 a year? Well, it's probably very insignificant. But what if it's $20,000 a year? And now you're approaching retirement thinking that you spend $80,000 a year, but you spend $100,000 a year. And that actually makes a big difference when you're projecting over 30, 35 years. So that's a big issue. Next is portfolio management. I can't count how many times you see someone coming up to retirement and they have a, you know, 90% stock portfolio. Hey, that's been great. And, you know, maybe it's worked really well for you. But what if another, you know, 2008 happens right before the point they were going to retire? That would decimate their portfolio. And certainly, you know, at a minimum, if it doesn't delay retirement, you know, certainly would have a financial impact on retirement. And the flip side is true too. You also get people who are way, way too conservative. You get people who are sitting in a bunch of GICs and bonds and they have 70%, you know, GICs and bonds, but they're 65. That money's got to last for conceivably the next 25 to 30 years. And you need to have that inflation protection that stocks provide. So it's about creating the right asset mix. Thirdly, for sure, this comes up all the time. When do I take CPP? When do I take OAS? When's the right time for me? Certainly, this is actually a really big decision. This is something as Canadians, we all contribute into. certainly on the CPP side, that we'll all get. And if you make the wrong decision, it can actually really be punitive for you. So an example is, you know, do I take CPP at 60 or 65? The discount factors that apply to taking a CPP pension at 60 means your break-even age, so the age at which you would actually have more money by taking it at 65 rather than 60, ignoring inflation, is at around 74. Now, most people, unless they have an impaired life expectancy, are going to make it past 74. So it's almost a no-brainer to say at least wait till 65. And then this can also flow into other strategies like an RSP meltdown, where you want to draw down your RSP in some low income years, get those funds out, helps lower your risk payment, helps affect the OAS clawback. And finally, really, when you get down to the core of it, the question that people come up to me with is, do I have enough? Do I have enough to have the lifestyle that I want to have? Did I save enough? Did I work enough? Am I spending too much? Really, is it going to last for me to do what I want to do? And that's at the core of what I answer through those facelifts.
Mm-hmm. But before we wrap it up, this has been great. I just wanted to ask if you have any final comments or words of wisdom for anyone who may be listening or considering working with TriDelta.
Honestly, my final comment is there's no wrong time to get your financial plan done. Some people say, oh, I've waited too long, or oh, maybe it's too early. Really, all studies show that by having a plan in place, it is going to better your financial outcomes down the road. You have something to work towards. You have something to move along, to track against. So certainly, you know, it may seem like an obvious thing that having a plan is going to make your life better than not. But given the number of Canadians that don't actually have a financial plan, it's not as obvious as you think. And really, you know, the whole idea of having a plan done earlier, some people say, oh, I'm too early to have a plan. Well, it's actually better if we can start earlier, because if we can start earlier, you can look at the financial decisions you make. And I was kind of equated to the idea of having, you know, a ship in the ocean. If I need to, you know, hit a target that's, you know, 2,000 kilometers away, I can just turn the ship 1 degree and go along that path. But if I'm only 100 kilometers away or 10 kilometers away or even closer, I really have to turn that ship hard to make that same change to hit that same goal. So having that plan and getting that direction earlier is better for sure.
It's a great analogy and a great way to end it. Thanks for joining me, Matt. That concludes this recording of Canadian Wealth Wisdom, and more specifically, our series on Who is TriDelta? A look at the individuals behind the logo.